Some say an artist puts a piece of themselves in every work. What if that actually meant putting a real piece of themselves in every work? Dan and I are going to find out on the next Indie Film Review!
Okay. What about it? What if?
Huh, what if, yeah, man? It's the classic what if scenario.
What if I painted a picture with my own blood?
Mm.
And it's a picture of happy trees? No.
What if God was one of us?
What if God was one of us?
Just a slap like one of us.
Just a stranger on the bus trying to find his way home.
Trying to paint his way home. Hello, everyone. This is the Indie Film Review. I am Jared. That's Dan.
Actually, I'd rather you refer to me as Hobo Man for the
Hobo Man. Yes. My new artist name for the rest of this podcast is John John Fran John Don Don. Okay.
His name was so ridiculous. It was like Morph Vander Warfen.
Yeah, Morph Vanderbelt or something, and then John Don Don. The other guy.
Morph.
So if you're a little confused, we watched a movie called Buzzsaw.
You mean Velvet Buzzsaw?
Velvet Buzzsaw. I stand corrected. I'm not standing, I'm sitting. I sit corrected. And we're here to talk about it, guys. This is what we do.
So we talk about movies. Velvet Buzzsaw is essentially about a snooty art community from LA.
Emphasis on snooty.
Yes, emphasis on snooty, played by Jake Gyllenhaal and Rene Russo and everybody else who played in that film. Basically, this, let me get it.
John IMDb. Malkovich.
Let me get the IMDb up. Yeah, this is so unprofessional.
Dan, if this was your elevator pitch, I would have thrown you out of the elevator by now.
Okay, so essentially what this film is about is this woman named Josefina, played by Zaw Ashton, or Zawe Ashton. I don't know how to pronounce her name.
I think Zaw. Zawe sounds like Zimbabwe. You're trying to cast a magic spell.
Zaw Ashton. She plays this woman who's trying to make it into, like, being a bigwig into owning her own, you know, studio that showcases, not studio, but, like, exhibit hall that showcases work. And she's working under Rene Russo, who is the person who already does this.
Mm-hmm.
So she has difficulty coming up with it until she finds paintings in a dead guy's house, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. And then the more that people profit from these paintings because she steals them, the more they come to life, or any artwork comes to life and then starts to murder them. So
yes.
Somehow these paintings make all art forms supernatural, which is
it's
a big stretch.
If you can't tell by our voices right now, this may have been a problem with the film for us.
First and foremost, like, the tone of this movie is all over the place. It will not stop. It will not. It's like a fucking 3-year-old child. It will not stop doing anything.
Oh, this is the spoiler-free section, by the way. Go ahead.
We're not spoiling anything. Just get ready to go on a roller coaster that you were not expecting, because it won't fucking stop. It won't let you stop and think. It won't let you enjoy it. The movie will not let you enjoy it. It just won't.
How did you feel about the length of this movie?
Could have been shorter. I mean,
I feel like we can say that about any film.
We can say it about any film, but okay. So, spoiler-free section. I want to include that. Okay, so it's Dan Gilroy. So the same guy who directed Nightcrawler. With Jake Gyllenhaal and Rene Russo as well.
Nightcrawler, dude.
That Nightcrawler was
fantastic.
Fantastic. So I'm thinking that it's going to be, because, you know, it's a Netflix film. He's not constricted by anything. And he's going to go off on a... And
he's letting his hair
fall down, essentially, right? And it's blowing in the wind. But it unfortunately, it's like a tennis ball yellow color. So it's not really...
And it's actually blowing all into my fucking eyes, and yes, I can't see. Essentially. And I'm crying.
So coming from, and it, the same cinematographer as fucking Nightcrawler as well. And he, that cinematographer did, if I remember correctly, I believe he did There Will Be Blood. So he's an excellent cinematographer. Okay. He, Robert Elswit is his name. He won awards for being such a good cinematographer. And
Robert Elswit, he won awards.
That being said, I didn't find the cinematography very impressive in this film.
Well, it has that digital quality that we've...
Well, I'm talking about camera movement. Like,
yeah, even the camera... Yes, that
it,
too.
It just... It felt very upsetting to me. Like, just... It just... It was underwhelming for... I was going in thinking it's Nightcrawler. So if you like Nightcrawler, go ahead and watch this film, but don't watch this film. I don't know. Just don't think it's
going to
be Nightcrawler.
It didn't have any of the fluidity of how, like... like Nightcrawler had a tone and everything. I shouldn't compare the two on it. Obviously,
I'm going to
compare super different movies. I mean, they're done by the same director. It's just, I think why we are is how different this movie was directed than how Nightcrawler was. Because in Nightcrawler, it felt seamless.
Yes.
And in this one, it felt almost generic or pedestrian, I guess is the best, which is funny. Cause like now I feel like one of the art critics in the movie,
but
being
here's the other thing.
A snob.
Here's my sell for this movie.
Uh-huh.
Outside of my elevator pitch. This is, if you want to see Jake Gyllenhaal act,
holy shit.
Fucking watch this movie. Like, he carried this whole movie for me. It was phenomenal.
He is so good.
We've in the past done top 10 actors, things like that. And I don't know if he made my list, but after watching this movie and other movies that he's been in, he's definitely in my top 10 actors list. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal was fantastic in this. I thought Toni Collette as Gretchen, you know, the blonde haired, with the bobby hair. She was fucking good in this movie,
she was
too.
Yeah.
There's no question about the acting.
Was fantastic. The acting is what saved this movie.
Oh, yeah. John Malkovich is in this movie. I don't know why, because he doesn't do anything, but I loved him in it.
Except for making the ending fantastic.
I guess. I thought Zaw Ashton that we talked about, I thought she was good. Renee Russo was obviously
to be fair,
great.
Everybody was on the top of their game in terms of acting.
Yeah.
But just to see Jake Gyllenhaal get into another role and just think back to all the other roles that I've seen him in,
he
marries his part. As soon as he's like, this is who I'm going to be, it's just night and day between
he plays like an effeminate art critic who's like the number one art critic. He is the man. Like, if this guy comes and sees your work and says it's bad,
but
you're
then
done.
Go back and think about, you know, Nightcrawler. He married that role really well. He married Donnie Darko really well. Like, he's always somebody. And Jarhead, was it Jarhead?
Yeah.
He was Brothers.
Seriously, he's
Brothers. Have you seen Brothers?
Dan, I've always said this about Donnie Darko and his role in there. He is the best actor I've ever seen try to jerk himself off under hypnotism. I mean, it was just out of the top 10 times I've seen that
scene. Have you seen Okja?
Okja. No, I haven't. Is it
that? He's in that, and he plays a fucking weirdo, and it's amazing to watch him act.
What?
Like I said, if you really want to see Jake Gyllenhaal act, watch him in that movie. Because
would that
it's
be
fucking
considered
hilarious.
An independent film?
I mean, it is Netflix.
I mean, maybe we could put it on the list. We're amassing a list, by the way.
I mean, I've already seen it, but I wouldn't mind watching it again because of Bong Joon-ho, and Bong Joon-ho is fucking amazing.
Bong Joon-ho. Yeah, dude. I'm into it.
Okay, so are we done not spoiling this, or where are we going?
Yeah. Would you recommend this movie?
No, absolutely not.
I don't think I could recommend this
film. I can't recommend it. Like, outside of the acting, there's nothing saving this film from falling from grace.
It's not terrible, but it falls in between a thing of just, it feels just so mediocre, and the ideas that they're trying to play with, and even the art and everything they're trying to critique and talk about, it just felt like I've just seen it done better in other
Deep
films.
Dark.
Yeah. Deep Dark definitely comes to mind. For sure, Deep Dark.
And Deep Dark was amazing. And it was more indie than this film, I would argue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And some of the stuff they try to pass off as art. I mean, I know art is subjective.
But go watch Deep Dark instead of this movie. Same basic concept. A lot more horrifying.
Damn, dude. We are just tearing this movie apart. It's so bad. It's not as bad as what we're saying. Okay, so let's get into it. So the main plot is we have this ensemble cast. There's a problem. It's like there's too many characters. This movie builds itself almost as like in my brain, I thought it was going to be like a slasher horror where like all these people get together and then one by one they get killed. And that happens. For sure that happens. But it takes an hour and 50 minutes for all of them to die. And that's just too long. It goes into so much melodrama about like Morph, Jake Gyllenhaal's character, dating Josefina. And her change from like plucky assistant to like cutthroat art dealer lady once she finally gets some power is so, it's such an abrupt like turnaround. I don't know. And then you're dealing with that, and then you got like whatever's going on with John Malkovich, and he's like not inspired anymore, and there's just so many pieces. You're juggling way too much.
Yeah, that is why the tone is so out there, because you know you have that melodrama feeling, you have that weird supernatural feeling, you have that slasher kind of feeling. Not really. I don't know. I didn't really get slasher vibes from it.
Honestly, everything worked except for the supernatural stuff. Like, that's the stuff that took me out of the film. And I usually love supernatural shit. And I think the main reason it didn't work, Dan, is because it doesn't follow any rules.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
At all. And I don't like when horror films, like, I mean, okay, if you got a ghost, you can't just make your ghost be able to do anything. That's fucked up. Because now, I can't believe I have to keep saying this. I mean, this is new. Like, for us saying this on the Indie Film Review, this is new. But if anyone's heard our old podcast, I've said this before. But if the characters don't have any rules against whatever the supernatural is, there's no way to defend themselves. And now you're just waiting for them to die. Like, if you already know they're all doomed, why are you watching?
That's a good point. Even if, you know,
is it to see them killed?
Well, what I'm saying is, even you go to see a movie that does have boundaries and sets its boundaries really well, you know that you're still going to get a body count, but there's still a chance that somebody will survive. And typically, you know who that is. I don't know. You have to have rules to play a game, I guess, is really what it boils down to.
Yeah. Yes, I think so. That's a great way of saying it. And it's like, I was getting attached to some of these characters. Like, even they were, like, some of them were unlikable and whatever. I was still kind of invested in the drama. I actually liked the drama more than the horror. I thought the horror was getting in the way of what was going on in the story. Because anytime the horror stuff showed, except for like one scene where I was like, this was fucking rad with the sphere.
Oh, yeah.
When Tony Collette starring, puts her arm in the sphere, was great.
Yeah, she puts her arm in the sphere sense. And then Dustin Hoffman comes out and he's like, I'm not going to die down here.
That's right. and then they all wish the sphere away. You know, they just pretend it didn't happen and then it goes away. All right. That's a different movie.
One that I would rather watch than this movie, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, the supernatural thing, I think, is what's really on our minds. So, okay. The first kill of the movie that we know of.
The kill.
Well, the reason the paintings are killing people is so Josefina finds the paintings from her next-door neighbor who has died.
Yes.
And she goes in there, discovers all the paintings. She finds out that he was going to destroy them all and burn them. So she takes them all and starts shilling them out, I think with Rene Russo.
Yeah.
Who is a Miss Hayes. And they tried to make a profit off of these stolen paintings. So do you think the reason the paintings are trying to kill people is because they are profiting from
them? Yes, that's exactly what it is. Anybody who profited from the paintings in any way, shape, or form gets murdered.
Gets killed. Okay. I thought it was just like if you just look at them, like for some reason in my head, I was like maybe you look at them and they just make you go crazy or something.
No, because
like,
John Malkovich survived.
Yeah, because he yeah, you're right. That is interesting.
But like the paintings know that they, because like, some people die before they even get showed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, most of them die before the paintings get showed, yeah. Essentially.
Yeah. And Jake Gyllenhaal wasn't trying to return the paintings. He was trying to store them at the end of the film. So, I mean, he was trying to get rid of them and stop it, but he still fucking died. That was actually an interesting thing, because I thought Jake Gyllenhaal was the main character, and he gets fucking killed.
He does.
Last person to live is Rene Russo's character, which she dies in like the dumbest way.
I was talking to my friend at work about that. He's like, as soon as I saw that tattoo, I'm like, no.
Did you think it was going to happen?
As soon as it started paying attention to the tattoo, I'm like, oh, tattoos are art. Oh, I can't wait to see how terrible this looks.
So
like, as soon as like, yeah. So basically Rene Russo's character, she was in a band. She was in a punk band in the 1980s called Velvet Buzzsaw, and her bandmate,
band name,
yes, Velvet Buzzsaw is a pretty
I like it.
Anyway, her bandmate OD'd and passed away, and she just became this up and comer in the art world, and she's a snob now, and she's not punk anymore, essentially.
Yeah,
but she still has the Velvet Buzzsaw tattoo on her back, mm-hmm. So you can see it, and they had. There's a couple scenes where it shows it in the beginning. So it's like, oh, there's the title of the movie. I wonder how that's going to come into play later. Mm-hmm. But then essentially, because it's art, the buzzsaw comes to life and drills a hole in her back, or buzzsaws a hole in her back. And it's really, really dumb.
Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty lame, because she like gets rid of all the art in her house. She's like, I'm finally free of all the art, but no, there's art on your neck. Oh no, it's the buzzsaw. And like, yeah, it was really lame. Also, Damerish lives. So like the up and coming artist.
Yes.
He actually lives, because he doesn't want to sell the art. I don't know why I didn't put this together with the art thing. I thought it was just the art was evil because the creator was evil. Because they talk about how, like, the creator may have killed some people.
Right, and it kind of, I don't know, it kind of is, but, like, yeah, it's only the people who are profiting, and the only people who are stuck up and snobby, essentially, are the ones that are. But then what bothers me is Jake Gyllenhaal figured it out.
Uh-huh.
And, see, that's the issue with, he thinks he figured out the rules, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, he attempts to construct the rules around this supernatural being.
Yes.
And he still dies, which doesn't make any sense to me, at least. But the way he dies was horrifying. I think it was the scariest one.
Yeah,
because
with the robot.
Nature of it. Yeah. So there's this hobo man, this robot that he thinks is a terrible. Well, at the beginning of the film, he's reviewing it. He's like, I've seen this done before, essentially. But the robot makes so many different funny sayings, like, I built a railroad.
Yeah. I once worked on the railroad. It's like, that was fucking great. I would say one of the best scenes in the movie is when he goes to the sound art installation.
Mm-hmm.
He just hears himself critiquing himself.
Yes.
And it's just all these other voices are just saying all the different mean things he said about art. And he's fucking losing his shit. And then the guy walks in and goes, oh, I'm sorry for that. We had a malfunction, so the presentation hasn't started yet. He's like, are you sure? There wasn't any sound? He's like, no, we haven't played any sound yet. And I was like, that was really cool.
Really good.
My favorite part is seeing Jake Gyllenhaal go crazy and try to figure this out.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he brought me through the entire film, essentially. Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. Like, in all the little tiny quips he has with all the minor characters. Mm-hmm. Like, where he's at the funeral, and the one guy's trying to get him to write something. And he's like, I'm not your mouthpiece. And like,
Yeah. That was really good. I liked it when Tom Sturridge as John Don, how
John
he dies.
John Don. Yeah, okay, so this was the most impressive bout of cinematography that I saw.
Yes.
So essentially how he dies is like there's an art display that looks like an old decrepit attic looking thing. Yes. And he goes through it because the projector starts running by itself, and he turns off the projector, he unplugs it, and it's still running. But as he goes through it, the camera pans back, and the art essentially comes to life, and he's stuck in this attic that just came out of nowhere, essentially. And then a hand grabs his ascot scarf. Snob.
Ascot scarf.
Snob leash.
Grabs him by the snob leash. Holy shit.
Grabs him by the snob leash and then lifts him up and hangs him, essentially. And poor Coco. She discovered three bodies.
Okay,
in this
entire
film.
That's the best bit, yeah. I thought she was going to discover, it was a little unrealistic. So Coco is this intern that keeps jumping from every character. So, like, she'll work for somebody, they die, then she'll go work for someone else. She's just like, I just need a job. But the issue is, why isn't she more upset?
Every person that she works for just dies.
Yeah. And at the end of the film, it's just her like packing up and going back home because all the people she worked for are fucking dead.
Yes, and at the end of the film, it zooms out and then we see a person who found more of the art somewhere. Oh, one of the discarded from
the
initial wreck.
The homeless people found it.
Yeah, the homeless people found the initial wreck.
Yeah.
And then they're selling it again.
Yes, because we had one of the intern characters was taking the art to be stored in a warehouse. But he was so obsessed with it that he checked the case to see what was in it. And he had them like out and he was looking at them while he was driving. Because everyone is obsessed with the art. Whenever they see it, they instantly think it's the best thing they've ever seen. And he like crashes his vehicle. This is the first kill, by the way.
Yes.
I forget, something spooks him, like ghost shit. But how he dies, he goes into the bathroom to wash
his
face.
Okay, so first of all, no. Something spooks him, but then his shirt lights on fire.
Oh, yeah.
So he has third-degree burns all over his body, and he's like trying to... So he has third-degree burns, he crashes his car, and then he goes into this abandoned gas station slash repair shop, essentially, and he finds a sink, and he's like, anybody here? And he starts wetting his third-degree burns
himself.
Down.
Mm-hmm.
Which... doesn't work. If you ever have third degree burns, do not use water. It's not a good idea.
What
but
are you supposed
me.
To do?
Butter.
Oh, I can't believe it's not butter.
No, you're supposed to use, I don't remember what you're
spit.
Supposed to use.
Human spit.
I don't remember. Maybe it is water, but it just water doesn't do anything for it. It just makes it worse. It spreads
out. Are you
out
supposed to pee on yourself?
Maybe.
I read Maybe. That one in a... travel book.
Maybe it's vodka. Maybe you just pour vodka all over your body.
Vodka. Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, man. So he's in there washing himself like a good boy. And he's in front of this picture of like this monkey paintings, right? And I'm like, it wouldn't make sense for these monkey paintings to come to life because they're not part of the artwork. But they do, and they grab him. And it's just like kind of gross CG. I don't know. It's whatever. It's serviceable. Whenever they showed that fire effect on the art, you know, when the art looked like it was burning up, it didn't look, I don't know, I just didn't like it. It took me out of the film. It's like I was watching National Treasure or something. It reminded me of that. What did you think?
Now that you mention it, I mean, I wasn't really paying attention to the CGI, but that really does hurt the film now that I'm, it's like, I don't know. I don't know what hurts the film more, the CGI or the fact that It didn't make any sense. Again,
didn't
it's
make
not
sense.
Part of the initial collection, which would make more sense.
Yeah. I want to see the art pieces that the killer made kill people, not just all art in general. But I didn't make the movie, I guess. And it's it's just weird. Does it follow a set of rules that makes sense to you?
No.
In your brain?
And like that's... that. What bothers me is I didn't figure that out, I guess. And just talking to you about it makes it set in stone a little bit more, where it's like maybe that's why the tone was everywhere.
Yeah,
because
it's not liking how the movie's murderer works because it doesn't fit with whatever the narrative is supposed to, is trying to get at.
So what we're trying to get at then is if this film did not have the murder and only had the melodramatic pieces between like the cutthroat art world and people screwing each other over, it would have been a better movie.
I think so. Honestly, it would have been better if the killer was just a person. And I usually don't like that. I love supernatural movies, but I feel like the way they did this was not fun to watch.
Killers are people too.
Killers are people, so what can it be? Oh, so here's another thing. I thought it would be more interesting if they actually focused more on the artist. Like if Jake Gyllenhaal with other characters went on a journey to actually find out about this artist. And so if the artist and his art related more to the characters, like if there was some more connections there. Or if
Jake Gyllenhaal was more of a main character, like he was the main character, basically. Uh-huh. And we did follow him through his research more.
Yes. So we don't have anyone to attach to. They all kind of get equal screen time. It's a little weird how it's all kind of jumbled together. So you're following this ensemble cast. You don't have like a lead character taking you through the movie. That's a problem. Well, it's not necessarily a problem. I just don't think it worked in this movie because I've seen it done where you don't really need a central focus character. But maybe a little focus would have helped in this movie, is all I'm saying. and then you start building up to these death scenes with these characters that are just so humdrum and I'm bored. Well, here's the thing we didn't bring up. Not scary. None Absolutely of this was scary, scary at all. That was a big issue. So, like, there's all this buildup of, like, you know, like when the girl, Josefina she goes into the graffiti room and then the paint is falling off the graffiti and it's, like, going up her leg and killing her. She's like, oh, no. I was just kind of like, ah, all right. Next scene.
I mean,
let's go.
It was... I kind of want to be kind to the scene because it was a cool idea. But yeah, it took entirely too long and you knew what was going to happen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I did like the end result, how like she was part of the graffiti. Like it was kind of, it looked kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess. I guess what I'm saying is I was having the most fun when I was with these terrible characters, like these awful people, these art dealers who were just cutthroat and
being assholes to each other.
Snobs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Basically like us, but with art.
One of the best scenes is whenever, what's her face? Where is she? Toni Collette and Jake Gyllenhaal. Yes. Like, basically, Toni Collette gets a promotion. Mm-hmm. And she's like, so can you, she goes to Jake Gyllenhaal. She's like, so how much do I pay you for a good review? And he like goes off on her.
He flips his fucking shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was, but it's not like he goes off on, he doesn't go crazy. It's just he like goes off on her in a refined manner and then ends up saying like the very frustrated fuck at the end. But
well, here's what's great about that too. So that builds Jake Gyllenhaal as, okay, he's a respectable guy. Like he might be a snob, but at least he holds himself to some standard where he can't be bought. But that's not true. Because Josefina, his girlfriend, is like, I want you to give my ex-boyfriend a bad review.
So it depends on what you're trying to buy him with, is what you're saying.
Yes. And that's what he does. And it hurts his
career. But
then
he feels
guilty
about it.
Yeah. And he hates himself. That's the most interesting aspect of this film. And it has nothing to do with this supernatural murder shit. If the movie was just that, I would be more interested in watching it than whatever this.
There was a very strange transition, a very strange. Sound bridge, you know. Uh-huh. You know how sound bridges work. How like you know you hear the next scene coming before you see the next scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
So it was the strangest one I've ever seen on film. Jake Gyllenhaal, he's established as a gay character because he has a boyfriend.
Uh huh.
And he used to date Josefina, but then he, you know, leaves her, and then they're trying to get back together through the course of the film. And the first time that we see them trying to get back together, she's like trying to seduce him, and then he slowly shifts his hand up her skirt. And
well,
as
no,
he's
she
doing
takes his hand and puts it there. Oh, I was okay. Like, whoa, aggressive.
So she does this. And as she's sliding it up his skirt, you hear an airplane. I'm like, wow. So that's what those sound like. It was very bizarre.
I mean, that's 100% accurate. It's like coming in for a landing. That's right. I don't see anything wrong with that scene. One thing I have said, I haven't said, one thing I need to say is the music in this movie is the worst. It's the worst part of this film.
Mm-hmm.
It is so generic. It's like, I can't think of what it is right now, but it makes me think of like, do, 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 you know, like that. It's like, it's a step above that. And you're like, why? In this film? In a film that's supposed to be like,
artsy fartsy thriller movie. That
the music
really
is not doing it any favors.
I wonder what does IMDb list this as?
Just the score was rough.
It lists it as a horror mystery thriller.
There's no mystery. There's no thrills.
See any mystery.
There's horror. It's definitely it. This is a teen slasher that
but
they stretched
is it
out
really
forever.
Though? Like, was there any horror in it?
At its core, it is a group of people get killed, except for they're not all in one place. So, hi, I'm back. I had a little technical difficulty, but we figured it out. So we're going to do final thoughts. Let's go. Dan, what did you think?
Don't go into this. I mean, I already said it, but don't go into this film thinking it's going to be Nightcrawler. And just, I think what really save this movie for me was the acting, and the ending was phenomenal. Like the ending, there's John Malkovich has a character who's basically a washed up artist. He's trying to find his inspiration essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And Rene Russo's character lets him go stay at her beach house to find, you know, his muse again.
Yes.
And that's the last we ever see of him until the very end. So Rene Russo dies and then the credits start to roll. And then he is seen on a beach with a gigantic pole making lines, like curvy lines in the sand in the tide. And the tide's coming and like kind of making the sand go and set properly. And it's just him doing this for about 2 minutes. And it's just wonderful to watch. It was fun.
Kind of nice.
But it was a weird bookend. It did, like, again, it didn't necessarily fit the film tonally to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a cool thing to see. So
yeah,
the acting is what really saves the film is basically what I'm trying to say. And it's really fun to watch Rene Russo and Jake Gyllenhaal in different roles because they act really well together. And like in Nightcrawler, it was a power struggle. And in this one, it's not necessarily a power struggle because they're on equal footing and they're more friendly with each other.
Yes.
So I don't know.
Enjoyed the drama more than the horror. That's for sure. So what would you score this movie?
Well, I think my score is a little bit too high, so I'm going to dock it a point. My initial scoring was a 5.4, so I'm going to give it a 4.4.
Damn, dude. Brutal.
Just to take away things, because this movie took away an hour and 52 minutes of my time.
You are so disrespectful. I didn't hate it as much as you, I guess. I gave it a 6.5.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
The Indie Film Review's final score for Velvet Buzzsaw is a whopping 5.5 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, guys, find us where you're going to find us. Indie Film Review at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com if you want to email us. We are on Podbeam at Podbeam. Who knows what I say?
Podbeam me up,
Podbean.
Jared.
indiefilmreview.podbean.com. We're also on Twitter at indiefilmpod if you want to hit us up.
Find us on Facebook at the Indie Film Review or just Indie Film Review.
Yeah, Indie Film Review almost on all of them. We're on Facebook. We're doing our thing over there.
Go
so,
on
yeah,
iTunes, rate us 5 stars. Stars?
Yeah, drop us a line
What's
on iTunes.
What's going on with my tongue? It's getting heavy.
Oh, la, la, such la. A big, heavy buzzsaw tongue.
Mm.
let us know what you think of the show. Recommend indie movies. Even ones you saw, you thought it was good, let us know. I want to hear all about it. That's how I learn about this stuff. But if you've made a film too, absolutely let us know. And then we'll definitely queue it up. Because we like reviewing movies. And we're big snobs like Velvet Buzzsaw. And we want a Jake Gyllenhaal. all over
this. Yes, we wanted Jake Gyllenhaal all over your movies.
Yeah. Because I'm not talented enough to make my own film. That's my reason.
I mean, whenever it comes right down to it, I'm not either. And this is more fun.
It's because we love movies. That's why. And it's fun to critique them. Even things that you like, I think. It's fun to critique. But yeah, all right, guys. Pet your dog or your cat. Dan, you have the final word.
Once I built a railroad.